This is RSBNB Update, episode 258, recorded Friday, May 28th, 2010. Caffeine Craze Nutters. Hello, everybody. Mr. Chief Snake is here, resident snake of the Southern Hemisphere.
Hello.
He is currently residing under his little heat lamp in his room.
I am, actually. It's raining outside. It's okay. Not a very nice day.
Okay. But you don't have a heat lamp.
Well, it's pretty funny because I have this lamp on my computer. So it could be a heat lamp anyway.
Oh,
if you touch it, it burns you.
Oh, yeah. If you want a good space heater, get an Xbox 360.
Yeah, maybe. I do have an actual heater, so... Okay.
Anyways.
I turn it off. It's too noisy.
Yeah. See, it's probably warmer there today than it was here. It was only something like 8 degrees here today, and it snowed in southern Alberta. So...
Wow. That is pretty bad.
And it's May! So... You never know what's going to happen. But anyways, that's beside the point. I trust you'll explain a little bit later in the last segment of the show about where you were last week and just what it involved, because apparently I got it wrong.
All right, I forgot about that.
But that's for later.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff, though.
Elemental Workshop, Part 3. Now, you didn't do this quest, did you? Against my own advice, or...
No,
with my advice.
No, that was along with your own advice. No, I didn't. I don't think I ever did Elemental Workshop 2 either. Let me look that up.
Yeah, you should have, because I think the Elemental Workshop Part 2 was a more useful quest than Part 3 was.
That gave you the Mind Shield, didn't it? Yeah.
Yes, the Mind Shield and the rest of the Mind Equipment.
That's right. No, I only ever had the first Elemental Shield. Because, I did the Elemental Workshop 1 quest pretty much as soon as I could, because I was jealous of all those people with those awesome-looking shields.
Oh, yeah.
This was a long time ago when they actually were really cool.
Yeah, like, I remember seeing the shield, you'd equip it, and then it would, like, kind of expand out, you know?
I know, and they still have nothing like that, do they?
No, and I could see why, but... The mind one and the body one are just the same, but different colors.
Yeah, so. And the elemental... I like purple, so...
You like purple.
Purple is better than that ugly mind color.
You like purple?
Yeah, I like purple.
Okay.
Do you have a problem with that?
No, it's just I don't like purple. Anyways.
It's got to be a good shade of purple.
Oh, yeah. Like the shade of the elemental bar purple?
Maybe. That's a bit pink for my liking.
Okay.
It's got to be perfect.
Okay, do you own any purple clothing?
I don't, actually, so...
Okay. Anyways, the requirements
for... You have
nothing
to worry about.
Part 3...
But if I did, I would so wear purple. If I had the perfect
purple
shade.
What about a purple beret?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would definitely wear one of those.
Okay.
That's a great idea. Now, I wonder where I could actually buy a beret from. That might be difficult.
Yeah. Anyways, requirements for Part 3. Elemental Workshop Part 2, of course. 20 mining, 33 defense, and 33 smithing. Those two are the requirements, of course, to make the body bar. Which is, unsurprisingly, what's happening. Because if you remember at the end of Part 2... We saw that there was a body door that was locked, and now you unlock the body door in this quest.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah. In order to unlock the body door, you need a key. And to get this key, you discover this book in the chapel south of Sears Village. You remember where you got 99 fire making?
Yes. Yep.
Right inside that church, there's a bookcase, and that's how you start this quest, by finding this book, and then it's about the body equipment. But it also turns out that the front of the book acts as a mold. If you put soft clay on it, you get an imprint of a key, and then using that soft clay combined with an elemental bar, you can make the key to get into the body room. So, and of course, in order to make, before you go down there and you complete the puzzle and everything, before you do that, you have to prime two elemental bars so that they can be used to make body bars. And this is the machine that you discovered in Elemental Workshop Part 2. It's really quite an interesting machine, because what you do first is you take your, you know, in the first quest you just had plain elemental ore and bars, right? You, this is just a recap from part two. You take your bar, you put it on this little trolley thing, and then there's four stages where you control. The first one is, of course, fire. You work this crane, dip the bar in some lava to heat it up. Then you move it around to the next step, in which you will... What's that thing? Oh, yes. After that, you put it in water to cool it off, of course. Then, or no, you have to flatten it first, of course. You wouldn't be able to flatten a solid bar, silly me. So you flatten it. Then after you do that, you cool it off with water. And then you further cool it off with wind. And this is from Elemental Workshop Part 2. So, just that part of the quest, having to do two of these bars, takes about 10 minutes because the machine is manual. There's no automating the machine. So you have to go to each step and then work the machine yourself, which is kind of annoying, but it's also fun to watch because it's mechanical, and personally I find things that are mechanical fun. I don't know about you, but...
Oh, yes, you would.
I wish there was like a video of this somewhere, you know? Maybe I'll go down there and take a video later, because I quite like it, and I think that should be documented for this part of the show. But anyways, after that, you got your two primed bars, and then comes this big puzzle thing. This puzzle has, I think, 7 or 8 parts to it, and in reality, all you're trying to do is get this machine spinning, then raise it up in order to press the big red button, which makes the body bar. But this puzzle is actually, you know, the puzzles you get from the treasure trails?
Yep.
With the hole in it? It's kind of a 3D version of that, except on some of the pieces that you move around, there are gears, and you have to, the objective of the puzzle is to line these gears up so that you get more pieces of gears to start with, and eventually more turns. And then, once all the gears are lined up, you get the machine spinning, and then, of course, it will raise, and then you press the big red button, and there you go, you get a body bar. So
that is a very convoluted method of
making a body bar?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it is really convoluted to make body bars, because when you are doing the quest, you get the puzzle set up once to bring the bar up to where it needs to be, but then when you take it out, you have to do the same thing again. So you have
Oh my gosh.
Well, you don't have to redo the entire puzzle, you just have to rejigger the puzzle to get it going again.
Oh.
Because after you press the big red button.
Well.
But.
Even then.
So.
Might be some time before I do this quest.
Yeah, it took me about, I think, an hour and a half to go through all the puzzles, so...
Yeah. So even after those puzzles, what is this quest useful for? What does it sort of do?
You get the body.
Yeah.
That's about it, really. Body. But I think there will be a part
really
4.
Really smart whoever came up with that name.
I think there will be a part 4 in which it goes one step further, because it's talking about, in the book that you read before the quest, it's talking about an amputated limb or something, and different parts of, like, it's talking about creating an artificial life form with this, sort of. So it should be interesting to see where this quest goes, but I would personally like to see part 4 sooner rather than later. Because part 2 came out a long time ago.
Yeah, you know, that seems to be the trend with quests lately.
Part 2 came out October 2nd, 2006.
Mm. Yeah, I was just looking before. But yeah, that seems to be the same with all of them. Although at the same time, then you could say that they are doing a very good job now in wrapping things up, because all of these quests that seem to be following on from old ones are coming out now. Yeah, so that's good. Got to give JGX props for that.
Yeah. And the thing is that the body equipment can be sold on the Grand Exchange.
Oh, so it can?
So if you're lazy after the quest and you want another body, you can go buy it or whatnot. But
are they worth much?
No. The only difference between the body and
it's not 27K.
Or the body shield and the mind shield is that the body shield, I think, gives extra summoning defense bonus. So. Whether or not it's worth it, I don't know. It, on the merits of the reward, one quest point, 2,000 smithing experience, 50 coal, XP tomes, meaning you get 4,250 in defense and 3,250 in smithing twice, so about 8K defense XP and 6.4K smithing XP after you do this quest. So
now that is pretty pitiful considering long those puzzles take.
Yeah, so you might as well. It's a question of what's going to be coming in the future. So I don't know. I could give this quest a 3, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem worth it. Because I think I gave the Fairy Tale quest a 5. I don't know.
No, in comparison, this is a bit of a time waster, it looks like.
Yes, that's right. So 2 it is, then.
2 it is, yep. And I didn't do it, but it would be a 2 for me as well. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I was going to tell
you. It is nice that they're... Sorry?
I was going to tell you to do it, but after I did the puzzle, and it took this long, I didn't see much point in that when you don't get much from it, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is nice that they're wrapping things up or trying to continue these old quest lines.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's good that they're doing that. But apart from that, there's not really much merit to this quest.
Yeah. Okay. Castle Wars improvements. This week was a week with 2 updates, which is extremely rare. So.
Yeah. Although they did say that they were going to keep this... Yeah, it was originally scheduled to come out next week, the Castle Wars improvements.
But they didn't want to do it then because the U.S. is having Memorial Day and they're having a bank holiday in the U.K., so...
We have a 4-day weekend next week.
Oh, that's good.
It is good. So they could have just waited, but no, apparently they don't care that much about New Zealand players.
Yeah, you guys are probably a minority.
Although, I mean, it would then count for us because we can play this weekend and next weekend. That just means we get more special treatment.
First that they mention is a high scores table for Castle Wars.
That is good. That's good. Yeah. It's good that they finally come out with something like that. What does it actually record, though? I haven't even looked at it.
I think it records points. If you remember, a win is 3 points... Or no, 2 points, and a tie is 1 point, like 1 ticket, so I'm assuming that's what it records.
Doesn't it? Hang on, I'll look myself up and see if I'm even on it. No, I'm not ranked.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, I'm not ranked in Castle Wars, but... Anyway, so the high scores table, they also say that their goal of this was to... bring it into like the modern kind of RuneScape thing. That's what I got from it. But
yeah, which is good. It did need a revamp, and I'm glad they did that.
All decorative armor sets, including a new 4th set, give you a set effect when worn inside Castle Wars. So basically, that means that your red and blue ones became basic decorative helmets, then the next one, whatever that one was, I think white, became detailed decorative, and then the gold ones became intricate, and then there's the new one is called profound. So
yeah,
I only have
that's
the basic
good
ones.
That's good. But no, sorry, what were you gonna say? It's
Probably I only have the basic ones.
Oh. Yeah. I did once upon a time when I was actually interested in Castle Wars.
Which ones did you have?
Yeah, just the basic.
Okay.
Whatever it was.
The basic plate body, plate legs, and shields during a Castle Wars game will give you 10%, 10% damage against the enemy team. Detailed ones will give you 15%, intricate 20%, and profound 25%.
Except even the profound is only equivalent to rune, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. As to why anyone would want to be wearing those, I'm not sure. Considering they cost so many tickets when you could just buy those other things like halos, which would be more useful. I don't know how good that shield is, but...
The detailed one also gives you 15%.
Oh, no, wait, you can't even use a halo in Castle Wars, can you? Because that's a headgear.
Yeah, that's a headgear item.
I didn't think of that.
The other three also give you 10% against the barricades and ballistas. And, this is one you'd like. The intricate one also gives you immunity from catapult damage.
Oh, okay. As in 100% immunity, or...
That's what it says. Immunity.
Oh, because, I swear those catapults are overpowered now. What the hell? Yeah, this is what I did test since I couldn't do the Elemental Workshop 3. I did play a quick game of Castle Wars. But I just seem to keep getting killed by catapults. I don't know if that's normal, but I'm sure. I don't know how it happened. Anyway.
Yeah, I also tried one and I couldn't even make it across the bridge, so I think those were the catapults.
Yeah. I then changed my tactics. I started blood barraging people and... I drained their HP to restore mine after I'd been hit by catapults. That worked quite well because I managed to kill several people at once, and
But
this was fully armored and stuff, so...
Improvements to the catapults. Teammates can deploy flares to mark targets. Plus, the catapult has a more useful interface. I agree on that. Ballista siege weapon, which can be deployed at key tactical locations. When you deploy it, it basically looks like a huge crossbow. So it's like a turret that's deployable. The Faithful Shield, which has a nice prayer bonus, which I did not look up. But that is 200 tickets. While the halos that you want are 300 tickets.
And these halos look awesome. They use particle effects and stuff. And I'm really not doing well with my speaking today. Anyway, they use particle effects, and I really want a Guthix halo because it would look fantastic with the farming kit.
The Guthix halo reduces the drain rate of prayers, clarity of thought, improved reflexes, incredible reflexes, chivalry, piety. Ceridoman halo reduces the drain rate of thick skin, rock skin, steel skin, chivalry, piety. Zamorak halo reduces the drain rate of burst of strength, superhuman strength, ultimate strength, chivalry, and piety.
Yeah, and you basically don't need to worry about any of those except chivalry and piety, except just piety. As long as you've got high prayer level. So, you can just get any of the halos that you want, and you're sweet.
Mm-hmm. Then, of course, there's also, you can buy the Ceridoman hoods and the capes and the Zamorak ones. For 10, you can take those out of the game now. They also got new capes for the flag cape, the kills cape, the hobbyist cape, the enthusiast cape.
You've always been able to do that.
You have?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No one told me.
Since the game came out.
Okay. Well, that's good to know then. Anyways.
No one's really done it because it would have been popular when you first could do it, but no one cares.
Those capes, the flag cape getting the most captures, kills cape most kills, hobbyist cape is completing 500 matches, 1,000 matches for the enthusiast, and 5,000 matches for the professional cape. Those are only 2 tickets each.
Yep.
And of course, there's the ballista.
You need the achievements for them, don't you?
Yes. which only costs 8 points for all the pieces, and then the ammo for each costs 4 points. So, then, of course, they also have potion sets, melee potion set, ranged, and magic, which contain super attack, super strength, super defense, and super energy in the melee. Ranged is ranging potion, super defense, and super energy. Well, magic is magic essence, super defense, and super energy. So you can use potions now in Castle Wars.
That is quite good.
Yes. And take 5 option from the bandage thing and another tool thing, and that's about it for this update.
Overall, it's quite good because, you know, it needed a revamp.
Yeah, it's good. And part of this is they said they're having some Castle Wars matches in their triumvirates thing with the realm versus realm.
I still don't even know what that means, but...
yeah, it's basically like a big social grouping, you know? Kind of
boring.
Like applying yourself to a RuneScape God thing, but... That was last week.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be right. Okay. So... Yeah, the only problem I have with this is it seems to be too easy to inflict damage to large groups of people. But... such as with the catapults and ballistas. I think they've made it a bit too easy to do that.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I don't know. It may just be because I was in the laggiest world possible. It was the most ridiculous idea of playing on it. But hey, I'm in World 15. I had a ping of like 55 to it, which is insane for me because as a New Zealand player, I get crazy pings to everything. And 55 is bloody impressive. But it turned out, of course, if it's a... I don't know what World 15 is. It must be a New Zealand world. Why on earth they would put a Castle Wars world on a New Zealand world is beyond me. Because that is the most stupid...
I went to World 24.
24?
Yeah, that's also a Castle Wars.
I don't know what that is. But, yeah. It was impossible to do anything, really. That is how much lag there was.
Plus, yeah, overall, it's a
however,
good thing, though.
However, if I played on a good world, it was my fault, really. If I played on a good world, it would have probably worked a lot better. And so, yeah. Good update. Yeah. Good update. I'll leave it at that.
So, that's Castle Wars. They also have a video that you can view on your own time, which you can find in the notes at update.rsbnb.com. Now, here comes another small update this week. Improved skill cape animations.
Oh, yeah. This is another quite significant one, I would say, anyway. Even though they would consider it small.
Yeah. I quite like what they did with all the emotes and everything. The only issue I have is that the water that comes out of my watering can now doesn't look like water. It looks more like foam-like, you know?
Yeah, but then... it probably looks a lot better than what it used to look like.
Yeah, that's true. So if they could just make it a little bit more water-like, less foam-like, that would be good. But that one's good. The Herblore one is also more spectacular. Fire-making.
All of them are. I noticed fire-making. The woodcutting one has barely changed.
Yeah, agility hasn't changed. It just got the tweening.
No, it's just tweening, yeah. Of course, tweening is always good, so that's...
Yeah, it's so smooth, you know?
It looks
it's
a lot
like,
smoother now. But you, yeah.
Yeah.
As you were saying.
I quite like it, so I'm glad they did this.
Yeah.
Other tweaks and fixes this week include... let's see. 200 player limit on free-to-play friends list. This was posted by... Mark, the CEO himself, as he thinks everybody should have that. So that's good, you know?
That is good. Another good update. Yep.
You can now right-click the Now Playing song to add it to your playlist in the music player.
I guess that's another good update. Yeah.
3 more areas where NPCs can now appear and offer you to teleport you to the Fish Flingers distraction and diversion. In Piscator, Shiloh Village, and Barbarian Village.
Can't complain.
You can now change the color of your split chat in the in-game options.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. I forgot about that. That's another handy one.
Yeah.
But but they still haven't fixed the alignment of it.
No, yeah, that's really annoying. Another thing that came with this one, if your chat box, the top arrow on the chat box is screwed up.
Even more inconsistencies.
Yeah, but I don't know. Another thing that came, remember last night we were talking about this, about the options in RuneScape, how they can't seem to make up their mind whether for the options they're going to be using modal windows or not.
I wonder. I mean, can't they just make an API for like a standard, dialogue? How is that difficult?
Because, like, if you look at it, the settings to control your audio levels, that's a modal window. But the ones to control your private chat and your player-owned house functions, that's not a modal window. So
yeah, things like that as well. I didn't think of that. But, yeah, I just wonder how they come up with these things sometimes.
For anybody who doesn't know basically what a modal window is it's a window that pops up and it prevents you from doing anything else with any of the other interface options.
Yeah, that's right. But I guess they have a lot of developers.
And you can't get them all to be consistent because they're all done by separate projects.
That is sort of besides the point because, I mean, someone's got to say, you know, we do things this way and show them how it's done.
Yeah, it needs a little bit more consistency, but that's minor. Let's see.
Oh, well, at least it does what we need it to, I guess.
We've overhauled a core part of our graphics engine to give it 4 times as much fidelity for modeling and animation. As a result, you may notice that various aspects of the in-game graphics look smoother. Because this change has involved modifying many thousands of models and animations, there's a small chance certain combinations won't look quite right. We encourage you to submit bug reports if you spot anything amiss. You may also find the game client takes slightly longer to load this week. This is the player-owned house thing.
Yeah. For those who don't know, if you go to your player-owned house, it will look stuffed up.
You know, I didn't go to my house yesterday, so I'm not sure if they fixed it with the Castle Wars one.
Oh, okay. They probably
wouldn't have had enough time, I don't think.
No.
So, anyways... RuneScape Classic is open again.
It's not a big thing since it's only a graphical bug, really. You can still do everything you need to.
Yeah.
RuneScape Classic? Yeah.
Yeah. So if you didn't get a chance to log into RuneScape Classic and activate your Classic account last time, do that this time.
Whoa.
I think it'd be interesting to have like a RuneScape Classic skill of the month or something, but there are no RuneScape Classic high scores.
Yeah, that's true.
So, anyways, be sure to log in if you're a member, because it's something you don't want to pass up. And a developer blog, Dungeoneering Beyond the Release, which is highlighting some of the changes coming to Dungeoneering, including classes like a melee class such as Tank, Tactician, and Berserker. So, you can change which one you're going to be, and then when you do this, it's there so it encourages you and rewards you for doing these kind of things. So, it says it will allow you to specialize in a role and will provide you with the unique benefits for doing so. These specializations are available for each type of player in Daemonheim, be you a noble warrior, an archer extraordinaire, a prodigal mage, or an artisan of non-combat skills, there's a ring of kinship for you. And then they say an example of this might be making 2 daggers when you're smithing something. That's the kind of benefits it will give.
I guess that's something. Yeah.
Yeah. Then they make slight note about herb lore and farming, but then say there's nothing they could do about that because, well, there's no... you don't have seeds yet because you get the seeds from the drop, obviously.
So. Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah, that is
too
bad.
I understand.
But with this also, they say that you'll be able to build a groupstone portal using your construction skill.
Which is good. Yeah. And that, from what I understand, You can also use construction to make a farming patch or a range. Where did I even
read
that?
That's right. That's right. This hotspot can be replaced with various other states, including a farming patch or a cooking range. So, that's good. But with this Gatestone, this is designed to replace the Gatestone spell for people who don't have the necessary magic level.
I didn't even know there was a Gatestone spell.
Then, of course, they say there'll be other things around, like in nooks and crannies of the game, where you'll be able to head into a dungeon and you'll be able to explore something Daemonheim related there.
Now, that is a more interesting update, and I'm glad that they've come up with that.
Yeah,
I think anyone will be, because it actually means that dungeoneering has some relevance in the surface world, as they call it.
Yeah. It says it may contain a few extra spawns of a overcamped monster, or perhaps some additional resources for you to collect with less competition from other players. Or maybe,
that's pretty good.
A new fearsome creature to the surface of RuneScape. So.
Ooh, actually, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not a it's just a subtle sort of thing, but I think it'll be quite interesting to see what they can do with it.
Then of course they also throw in a note about single players and that they haven't been forgotten.
Yep.
So they say this is separate from Batch 2, so that's good in a way that we'll be getting two more Dungeoneering updates hopefully this year. Okay, so you guys can read that on your own time. That's just a little overview. Next up, the poll. Player submitted polls number 21. I'll take the first question. Will you pull it up?
So that I can find it first. Naturally. You need to start linking to these polls. I mean, you link to everything else, and you never
Right. We can link to polls now. I forgot that. Okay,
I found it anyway, so...
When a new quest is on the horizon, what do you look forward to most? 44% say the rewards, followed by the storyline, then new areas to explore, then tricky boss fights. 4% want their quest cape back, 3% none of the above, and 2% don't know. I personally said the rewards because... You know, while the storyline might be good and everything, the rewards are something to shoot for at the end.
Yeah, I'm shallow, so I said rewards as well. I mean, I don't really care about the game anymore, so as long as it's a good reward, I'm all sweet.
Yeah, you don't care about the storyline that gets there?
Not really. No, I've never cared about storylines. Maybe at the very beginning, when I, you know, back in RuneScape Classic, when I did quests without guides... That was fun, but
yeah, I don't really like. There's a few storylines I follow in RuneScape, like the big ones, of course, but none of the other smaller things. But number two, you want to take this one?
A friend asks you to join them on a killing spree in a PvP world. What is your response? I'm right beside you, man. It's time to tear up some players with my dragon claws. Die, noob. Sure I will. I can trust you though, right? No, I don't want to risk my hard-earned gear to rabid caffeine-crazed nutters. No way. I slay monsters, not other players. Nope, I'm just not interested. I don't know or none of the options given.
Oh, that's great. Caffeine-crazed nutters. I wonder if this person who wrote this question wasn't a PvP person calling them caffeine-crazed nutters.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with that one, actually. That's true.
Which one did I say?
I don't know how many people in RuneScape there would be who drink that much caffeine.
I said nope, I'm
there
just
There probably are, actually. I mean, you know the prevalence of energy drinks in today's society. It's so
sad. Yeah, it is, you know? You don't drink those, do you?
No, poison.
Does your brother drink those?
Yep. All the time.
Oh, that's bad. You should get him to come say hello one day.
No, that's not even funny.
Okay. I said nope, I'm just not interested.
Oh, no fun.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, that's the true. Phone. I would be interested on. Three?
Oh, right. Yes. I'm one of those caffeine crazed nutters. Actually, no, I'm not. I've never had one of those energy drinks.
I don't think you... No, anyway.
Okie dokie. Which Barrow's armor has your favorite set effect? I'm not even going to bother reading the names of explaining what they are, but I'm just going to say which person. Of course, winning is Guthans, followed by Darox and Varax. Then I don't know. Then I'm sorry, I have no idea what you're talking about. 9%. Then Aram, Torag, and Karl. Some reason, round up the bottom three.
Well, Aram, Torag, and Karl are all useless. So
yeah, doesn't the... Oh, I forget what they do.
I can't even remember what
Aram
does. Karl is takes run energy. Torag, okay. No, Karl's takes agility, and Torag's takes run energy. Is that right? I don't know. It's
yeah,
either that
or you might have them reversed, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, or vice versa. Aram's, yeah, I have no idea what Aram's does.
But it's quite obvious Guthans the top at 33%, then Darox at 24%.
I suppose Darox is for PKs.
Or those people who train on monkeys, you know?
Oh, yeah, but then those are noobs as well.
Why are they noobs?
Because who really uses Darox to train strength? And I mean, that's like a cowardly way of training. Because you can't get hit. Darox. Darox is a better way because...
Yeah, that's what I meant.
You are opening yourself up to...
Yeah, didn't you do that once?
No, I never did it with Darox.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering about that. Let's see. We were wondering what Aram does. Aram the Blighted. Okay. Now, where is your set effect, Aram? Okay. Where is his set? Oh, Barrow's equipment. Okay, there we go.
Aram the Blighted. Aram's set. Blighted Aura. It will drain 5 strength levels off an opponent until their strength reaches 0. The chance is random. However, it occurs approximately 1 out of 5 casts. Oh, okay. That's actually not that bad, I guess.
Yeah, but I guess the cost would come into play if you were using it for, like, against a person or something, right?
Hmm. Yeah, I suppose because it wouldn't occur often enough, it's not that... Wow, look at the price of that.
That has increased
so much since I last got Arms. I got Arms when it was cheap as, under a mil for the whole set. And now it is 5.9 mil for the set.
Carl's is the one that lowers the agility level. And...
Oh yeah, so I got that right. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, you did. So...
been some time.
And Guthans is only 5.7 million for the set, but the other ones
are
catching up to it. That's weird.
Well.
Remember when the spear itself was 5 million?
Yeah.
Way back when that was. Anyways, next one.
Okay, where are we? If war broke out across Gilanor, which of these groups would you join in arms? Humans, dwarves, gnomes, vampires, troll... Notice that has a Y. Trolls, goblins, fairies, ogres, penguins, monkeys, elves... Whoa there, I'm not getting involved. I don't know, or none of the options given.
What is vampires with a Y?
I don't actually know. What was the winner of that one?
Humans, of course, followed by elves and penguins.
Oh, okay. Joining humans is boring.
I voted that I'm not getting involved.
I would join monkeys.
What? What the hell? What the heck can a monkey do?
That'd be fun as well. Well, exactly. No, I would join monkeys because they seem to have total control over Apatol. I don't think any humans could... take them over.
Yeah, that's true.
Because monkeys are pretty powerful, and they poison you at every chance they can get. And you actually cannot go and invade their and invade them as a human. You have to be a monkey. Isn't that right?
Otherwise, yeah, that's they right. Well, you could do it, but you have to be very stealthy.
Or well, yeah, but if they see you, then you're dead, basically.
Yes.
Well, not dead. Vivi. In jail. So,
you know,
they could effectively take on anyone. So I'm joining the monkeys. And plus, they have that big demon thing. Not that I fought that in a long time, and I fought that and killed it really easily. But
if I had to pick one, I think I'd pay say the penguins, because they're like the Russians, you know?
Yeah, the penguins as well. It's a hard toss-up.
Did you know and that the stealthy, penguins... stealthy little buggers. The penguins were initially scripted to be robots.
Interesting.
That came out this week in the video Q&A from the content crew that they did on YouTube. Which brings up another question. I'm not sure why they didn't post this video on the RuneScape website, you know? I saw it on Twitter, so...
Yeah, see, there's no integration. We've discussed that before, I know, between these services that they have.
Yeah, so... Anyways...
Oh, well.
They need a RuneScape blog for these kind of things.
No, I don't even think they need a RuneScape blog. They just need to put stuff on the site itself.
Yeah. Anyways, that's it for RuneScape updates, unless you want to talk about anything else.
Nope, that is all. Quite a few updates this week.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose we won't, won't be getting anything big next week, thanks to the Castle Wars being pulled back. Just tweaks, maybe.
Anyways, two audio questions this week. First one from Defy All Odds.
Do I have to turn up my speakers again?
Dear hosts, Defy All Odds here as always. Just wondering, if you guys were in charge of Jagex and you could remove any skill from the game that you personally didn't like, which one would it be and why, excluding Dungeoneering? And secondly, I last asked you guys a couple of weeks ago about your worst experience in RuneScape, but I would like to ask you, what was your best experience been in RuneScape? And thanks, as always, Defy All Odds out.
Yeah, next week... try to make your volume slightly louder. I increase these in post, but if I don't have to increase them in post, that's all the better. And if I have to increase them in post more than a few times, it's a chance we might not take your question. But anyways, if you could remove a skill, what would it be?
Dungeoneering.
Okay, you said not Dungeoneering.
Yeah, I know. But I would still remove it anyway. I wouldn't remove summoning. It's hard. I don't know, what's useless?
Fletching? It is useless.
All of those skills you kind of do need?
No, you don't. Nobody uses bows and arrows anymore. Everybody uses bolts, which is the smithing skill.
That is true.
Primarily.
But it still has a purpose in the game. And I mean, even something like fire making has a really distinct purpose. You can't just replace
that. Yeah, it does now, you know, it does. A few years ago, we would have had to say, no, fire making is useless, but...
Well, no, I mean, it's never been useless. It's always had a purpose, and it's always fulfilled that purpose.
Well, what did we use it for before besides cooking things in remote locations?
Well, you've always needed to be able to somehow burn logs and create a fire. So... it fulfills that purpose, whether or not it's useful for anything, but that has still been necessary. I mean, it's just another fundamental aspect of the game, really. It's not like it's important, but it's something that you do need, and if you take that away, then you realize how much you do need it, I think, anyway. And it's, yeah, same goes for things like fletching and, yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to stick with fletching.
No, I mean, Dungeoneering is the skill, the one single skill, that has nothing to do with the outside game, and you could remove it without
Yet.
And you could remove it without any dire consequences. Apart from that, possibly Slayer is the most useless.
Oh no, we need Slayer because
I know that Slayer... that's integrated now, and but of course, if they did remove all those Slayer requirements and things, then it would probably be easiest to remove, and I wouldn't miss it that much.
But think, if you didn't have Slayer, you'd still be using Dragon Longsword.
Yeah, I know, but they could have had plenty of other methods of just introducing that anyway. They didn't have to use Slayer for that. It just shows you don't need a whole extra skill for that kind of thing.
Yeah, it could have been an add-on to the general combat mechanics of the game, you know? Thinking about it that way.
I mean, yeah, it's sort of something you can't really remove now, so I wouldn't want to remove Vabina, given the choice, then.
Yeah. Okay, and anyway, best experience?
I don't know. I had a Dragon Square, Dragon left half of a shield drop once.
I still have never had any of those.
And that was
these
when
years.
It was worth the mill.
What level were you?
Under 90, probably. Oh, no, because this was after I did the Legends Quest. It would have been 90-something. But this was a long time ago.
Okay. As for me, it would probably be getting my Third Age Plate Legs.
Oh, yeah. Actually, nothing beats that. I have to say, that's pretty impressive.
Which was really funny, because it's a sign that I need to go in and get more teeth extractions done, because it was the day of having my wisdom teeth removed, and before I went in, I was finishing this clue from the night before that I managed to somehow screw the puzzle box portion up, because I don't know what the heck was going on there.
I remember you looked at that. Complaining about that.
Remember? Yeah. You even looked at it, and you didn't see anything wrong with it.
We should have done like a remote desktop thing, and I would... Okay,
that's
no.
Sharing
no,
an account that's
that
not allowed. It's not allowed.
No, obviously not. I'm kidding, but... Yeah, that was a shame.
And then, of course, also...
somehow.
Yeah, I did. And then the day after, before I went in, about 20 minutes it took, and I ended up getting Third Age Plate Legs, which was... Oh, I wish I would have got those now, because they were only... back then, they were only like 23 million on the Grand Exchange.
What are they now?
Let's see. Third Age... Well, the Melee set is 422 million.
Oh my god, what the hell?
The Kite Shield is 102 million, and the Plate Legs are 138.7.
Holy Christ. Okay, I see your point.
Yeah, so let's just say that maybe I need to do a few more clues now, but other things that were good, I've had good luck with clues, strangely, because I have gotten so far 3 Robin Hood hats from Treasure Trails.
Wow.
So.
I've never got a Robin Hood hat from Treasure Trails. My Treasure Trails have never been that amazing. The first level 3 Treasure Trail I ever did, was a Guthix plate body, which was about 1.6 mil at the time. And so that made me happy. And then I don't think I have ever beaten that.
Oh, yes. Just for reference right now, the shield left half market price is 78.5K.
Yeah. So I'm pretty glad I did get that at 4 mil, I have to say. And that was when I was poor, of course. Or
you're still poor.
In comparison with everything else.
Anyways, thank you, Defile Odds.
Did you say I'm still poor?
Yes, you are.
Die. Nah, I kid.
Next question is from Earthy, who... Let's not have any split personalities next time. Let's just have Earth personality, please.
Yeah.
Hello, Shane and Chief Snake. My question this week is...
Do you love me?
What the... Greg, go away. Go away now.
Easy now, fuzzy little man Peach.
Are you even here?
Make an assessment.
Sorry. Have you ever seen the show The Mighty Boosh? Love, Earth.
No, I have not.
No, never heard of it before. That is all.
The Mighty Boosh is a... The Mighty Boosh is a British comedy troupe featuring comedians Julien Barat and Noel Fielding.
No. Okay.
No. Well, that one was simple. Anyways.
Despite our problems with it.
Thank you. Next one.
First of all, I just started listening to you guys, and now I'm hooked, and I've got some questions for you. Number one, Shane, Shane in brackets, sounds like you like math. I like it as well. But I'm not so sure as to the practical application of calculus and such when I enter the real world. Seeing as I'm going to be taking pre-calculus next year, following with AP calculus, AB junior year, and BC senior year, is there any way you can help me find a practical way to think of it?
Well, you should know. What do you think
well,
practical
I
calculus?
I don't know what the practical applications of calculus are, just because I'm doing calculus this year. Well, no, I'm not going to actually go on and use calculus in any particular fields. So
you don't know that.
Calculus applies mainly to engineering, doesn't it?
Sure, you could use it for that. But it's the calculus people learn in AP calculus in high school is just the tip of the iceberg. Because there's what you're doing is differentiation calculus, right? Then there's a whole other side of reversing that with integrals.
You do integrals, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know about them over there, but...
Yeah, some don't, some do. I'm just saying.
We've only done... Yeah, last year, I mean, when we did pre-calculus, we did both. We did differentiation and integrals, of course. And it's basically the same this year, except it's introducing all the new techniques.
Notation.
Really. Yeah, I guess.
Oh, and, yeah. Have you done partial fraction decomposition yet?
No. We've done everything that we need to for differentiation so far, and we're going on to integration. Actually, I think we're starting that next week.
Ooh, goody. That's when your math problems become a page long.
Yay.
Okay, but... Yes, you're right. Engineering is one. But there's a whole other side of it called differential calculus. Or no. Yes, differentials. That's right. Differentials are used in relation to things like weather.
Oh, yay.
Fluid dynamics. Heat dynamics. Geometry. There's vector calculus as well. So it really depends what you're going into. There are tons of different angles you can go with calculus. So it really depends on what you're going into. Personally, for me, being in computer science, my use of calculus that I have had to use so far is for calculating changes, i.e. derivatives of moving particles in like a computer application or something. In the effect of... Like, you remember I talked a bit about my project that we were trying to do this year for my term project? Yep. Basically, the term project was going to be a system where you could draw on a big screen. And in order to do this, we needed to do extrapolation because the amount of time it would take to feed the points to the server was too much, so you had to take a guess at where the user was going. So what you did here was you take the last three points and then fit them to a second-order polynomial. And then what you would do with that is you would calculate the differential of that, and then that would allow you to determine which way the user was heading. So that's where the use of differentials comes in.
Yeah, which that's pretty involved. I mean...
Yeah, so you see, calculus does have a practical side of things.
Yeah.
And in reality, it's something that everybody should know, I think, because it is what math truly is. Because if you look at it, even if you were to go into physics, like, let's say you were a crime scene expert or something, you would want to be able to... Based on the bullet fragment you found, it was from here and here, you would want to be able to find the speed that bullet was going through the victim that got shot. So knowing where it landed, and you could kind of, from that, extrapolate as to where your shooter might have been. So that's why calculus is important. I'm sorry, this is kind of like a long tangent, because it's just something I feel really passionate about. Calculus and
well, no, it answered the question. Stuff.
Yeah, it did. Good. But I'm just imagining there's a whole like load of people out there who are starting to fall asleep because they are not.
Oh well,
fans
they can
of math.
Step through it. That is all.
That's what happens when you put two math nerd people on the show.
Well,
didn't you?
Well,
no, you put yourself in that camp. You wrote a math contest.
I wrote a what?
You wrote in that math contest, remember?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, okay. Question two, how might I train farming? I'm becoming increasingly interested in it as you both talk about it. I have 44 farming as of now. There are lots of ways to train farming. Did you put that other question in? We could talk about it later when we come to that.
No, I don't think I think I saw it beforehand, but... I figured I didn't put it in because the question from Gnome Thorian, I didn't put that in because I thought we could answer it here about farming.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fine then. Well, there are lots of ways to train farming. You have 44, so you can basically do everything that you need to do, which is good. The main way to train farming, which you would start off with, is trees and fruit trees, of course. And... in order to make yourself money for that, you need herbs. And that's basically all you can do. That's all you need to do. So we have some guides up on the RSBNB YouTube channel. They're slightly outdated now, but I mean, they still retain the main information that you need. And they show you the farming runs and everything. So I think they are still...
Yeah, farming hasn't really changed at all. So it's still relevant. The only thing that would be off... I don't know if you... I don't remember if you included it, but it was, like, a cost. I don't think you included cost, did you?
Oh, no, I know. I never included cost in the thing. But
yeah, so then they're still fairly relevant.
Yeah, and I didn't say in the thing itself what sort of seeds you should be using. But that's really up to you and what your budget can handle. I mean, if it all depends on how much you gain from herbs as to what you can plant. And then on top of that, what the rest of your income is and how much you actually want to spend on farming. Because it is pretty expensive. I mean, you can't deny that if you want to get a lot of XP at a time. But otherwise, if you're not really bothered about how long it takes, because it is really fast doing farming runs and things like that, comparatively with other skills, you don't have to put a lot of effort into them. It's just a lot of waiting in between, which is fine, because, I mean, you can go off and do whatever else you want while you're waiting. So for the relative amount of time that you have to put into it, farming gives you a lot of XP, and it doesn't matter how much you pay in order to get that XP. So where was I? If you have got a lot of money, or if you're making a lot of money from herbs and things, then you can do anything you want. If you're just a farming hobbyist, I would go with maple trees and pineapple plants, which is still what I do. Perhaps papayas, but pineapples are still best, really. And I think, I'm pretty sure you have the levels for that. If not, then you can do curry instead of pineapple, which still give very good XP, I think, and they cost almost nothing in comparison. So, alternatively to maples, the only real other option is willows. The XP doubles from willows to maples, except you are paying quite a lot more for maples. So it really does depend on how much you can afford to spend, and you just have to make up your mind yourself. I've said before, but from from something like level 50 to 93, or 92, I did pineapple plants and maple trees. No, pineapple plants and willow trees, and some curry trees in there as well. So, yes, willow trees. I am insane. But that's, you know, just to prove that it is highly possible, and you can gain a lot of XP from that if you put in the time per day. Yeah, because you have to give yourself a schedule. Farming is quite, you do have to not dedicate yourself to it, but you have to be, what is the word I'm looking for?
Regimented.
Yeah, I'll go with that. Self-disciplined. So yeah. You have to actually make sure that, you know, if you're getting up, you have to get up at a specific time and make sure you do your farming.
Yeah.
And then, so it works. I find it works better during school, which may sound stupid, but it does, because you can get up at a specific time, do your farming run, go to school. You can do a farming run as soon as you come back from school. Then you go off and do whatever you want, and then you come back right at the end of the day and do another one. And yeah, there you go. That's it. You do
very good.
That way,
very
you can
good
fit
summary.
In, That way, you can fit in 3 tree runs per day and 1 fruit tree run, and then herb runs whenever you want. And herb runs, I didn't actually mention that, but herb runs, I would still do either Quams, Reynars, mm-hmm. or Snapdragons. I don't
toad
know
flax
what the
are good too.
Are. And toad
that's
flax,
what I prefer
toad
now.
Flax, of course, they've always been good.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter. The seeds cost virtually nothing, so you always make profit. But look those up. See what happens. You, on average, I think you still get about 7 herbs per patch with the secateurs, magic secateurs.
Oh, I got 22, like, last week.
Shut up, Shane. I think my maximum is still only, like, 16. So, get out, Shane.
Wow, okay. And finally, last one from...
Number 3,
Michael.
What are your views on the USA's increasing debt to other countries? I don't care.
Oh, yes, I suppose
I
I'm the one to I'm the one that has to answer this, but,
yep,
you know, it's typically not a good thing to be running such large budget deficits.
No. Well, I think that basically goes without saying. I mean,
yeah, and even better, being indebted to foreign countries, that's not good, because what happens if the relations between U.S. and China turn bad and China won't continue to fund your debt? The U.S. economy goes into a tailspin, creating a worse recession than we had just now. And then, to top it all off, if China decides to get angry and, like, invade, say, South Korea or something, and the U.S. has to help, how is the U.S. going to come out of that, you know? So, I don't agree with massive foreign debt. Granted, it would be painful, but I think that by law it should be that governments are not permitted to run deficits, even if it means you have to cut education and healthcare.
One of my teachers was just saying to us a while ago, because of course we're in New Zealand, we don't know anything about this stuff, and my English teacher is actually American originally, so he knows. I think he must follow this. He's a really great guy, but anyway, he was saying that the only reason the economy is still staying afloat is because they are allowed to just print money.
Yes, and then the U.S. and then China buys the debt.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. In my
opinion. Yeah, so I know. I think that. I forget what the brand of economist that you'd classify this as, but during when the big bailouts were happening and everything, I was part of the group that said that these companies should just be left to die, because if you keep financing things like that, you're left with the bill, which in turn prevents you from starting another positive cycle. So, because everything in economics is cycles, so if you have one bad cycle, you got to completely take the garbage out to start a clean, fresh one. That's enough on that for today. Thank you, K9 Michael. Next one.
Thanks a bunch, Michael.
Dear Shane and Chief Snake, do you take an active role in the art community of RuneScape, or do you enjoy the occasional glimpse of pieces of players' art in the players' gallery, or did you not know about an art community of RuneScape? You can go first, since you're the more artsy one.
Well, it is a bit different. You know, the kind of art that I'm interested in it's not fan art at all, and I think that's what you would be referring to, really. You know, players gallery kind of stuff. I never look at the players gallery unless Shane forces me to for the show, so, which hasn't really happened ever.
No, they're really, really very sporadic now, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, I don't follow it or anything, and I'm not interested in it. But, I've always been more interested in, you know, the web, the kind of side of it that fan sites take, which is more, you know, like signatures and things. I've always sort of kept up with how that sort of graphics have evolved. And yeah, that's always fascinating to see what people can come up with sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's about it.
There's like, I don't like all these people that draw these RuneScape characters to look like the anime characters. RuneScape is not anime. You can't draw a RuneScape person like that, you know? Like, I personally think that most of the people who submit into the players' galleries and get in, their art is traditional art that's not representative of what it could be about RuneScape, you know? Like, take for example, I think a perfect piece of RuneScape art that could go in the RuneScape players' gallery, what if someone built a statue of Bandos or something and put it in their front yard and took a picture of it? You know?
That'd be a bit excessive, but so we're not.
No,
sort of
it would be
that,
good. But I'm saying do that.
I would think that anyone who did that would have a mental condition, but...
Okay. How about a picture of... or a suit of armor that resembles, like, say, Guffins or something. Like, make
that
a suit of armor.
That would be just as bad.
Oh, you think so? I think
yep.
It'd be good. Anyways.
Although... Good on you, for anyone who has that much time on their hands.
Yeah.
I wish I did.
Then he also goes on to say, I've recently discovered the wonders of the skill of Slayer. After training it up primarily with Tears of Gothics and Lamps, I now have been taking it seriously. Do you do Slayer, and if so, what is your favorite part about it? No, I don't do Slayer, only when I need to raise my combat. I don't really have a favorite part about it. I just view it as another way of training combat.
Yeah, that's the same for me, really. I never trained it up with Tears of Guthix or Lamps. I mean, I did actually train it properly. And I went on a bit of a Slayer binge, because I had to get 80, of course, when I was getting all of my stats up to 80. And so I've stopped now. That was purely for that purpose. But when I did do it, I kind of did enjoy it. I mean, you do get into the habit of it. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm not sure about my favorite part, because yeah, just like Shane, I only do it if I'm training combat.
Thank you, Kingy. Next one.
Yeah, thank you. Dearest boss and co-worker, RuneScape-wise, do you believe the market is out of control in any way? For example, the way that a rich person or merchant clan can quickly cause drastic price differences in items, or the way that inflation has caused dramatic price changes over the year or two. If so, what do you think could be done to remedy the issues that you see? Also, since I'm pretty sure Shane will at some point refer to supply and demand, would creating more items sold by NPCs or creating untradeable items help curb these simple market guidelines? I don't think it's out of control. I think it's working very effectively, because it is... Yeah, I mean... This is how it's meant to be. This is how a market works. The fact that it has
not
inflation.
Necessarily. Not necessarily.
Well, I'm happy with it. I mean,
okay.
Yeah, like I was just going to say, the fact that inflation exists is proof that that the market works as it is currently. Okay. I don't think there's anything to worry about. You know, that's just how things work. But yeah,
my main issue, as Paul says, is that people can control certain items and whatnot. And yes, that is a problem. Being able to control, say, at will, the price of a prayer potion or something else. But as for how to fix it, the only way I can see fixing it is making the market completely open. Because right now, the limits on the price thing make this all possible. Because if people were able to suggest a lower price than this, which any sane person would... Because whenever something is rising, people are always going to buy for the lowest, want to buy for the lowest price and sell for the highest price. But the thing is that people need to be able to sell at a lower price without it going up, because forcing it up by those people just makes the bottom end force up as well. So I think if they were to... That's my issue with it. If they were to remove the controls on the price limits or even just widen them by a significant margin, I think it would be fine.
Yeah, you know, I still don't think that's entirely necessary. I mean, there is the problem that prices can be controlled of certain things, but I still don't actually see that as a problem. I mean, prices can be manipulated regardless.
But this is the thing also. It's back what I was saying about my sense of the economy and everything. I was saying that, as I said, that big bailout shouldn't have happened and everything. This is kind of coming from the same thing. It's like part of my school of thought on economics. It's like a very personal thing, the way you think things should be. That's all.
Yeah.
There is no right or wrong way to think about this.
Yeah. Oh, well, that is all. I think we better leave it. Also, on an extremely random note, what is your favorite or least favorite font? I didn't have a think about this personally. I probably should have, but...
I know my least favorite is Comic Sans.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably my least favorite as well. I quite like Cambria.
Okay. That's a serif font, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the one... Yep, it is the one that comes with Office 2007. And Windows Vista.
I prefer sans serif fonts, actually. I don't know why.
It depends. There is Droid Sans, which is the Google one, I think.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
That's quite good. It reminds me of Trebuchet MS a bit, similar to that. But
favorite for me, I don't know. Lucida or Myriad Pro, maybe? Lucida's basic, good. Basic fonts,
yeah,
you know?
I think Myriad Pro is a bit overused nowadays.
Yes, that's what I've been noticing as well. Helvetica or Arial? Which one?
Pardon?
Do you like? Which one do you like?
Out of what?
Arial and Helvetica.
Oh, Arial. Good question. Probably Helvetica. It depends on what context it's used.
Yeah. I know some people think there's no difference at all, but they're very subtle. The reason
there
I like
Helvetica... There is a big difference.
Yeah, Helvetica. It's just more, what's the word I'm looking
versatile.
For?
Versatile.
Yeah, and it's not as, like the Arial one is more, chopped. You know, like, if you look at, like, say, the T, for example, the top will be angled rather than just flat.
Oh, okay.
That sort of thing.
There are other ones, of course, that I like. These are just sort of general-purpose ones. I don't know what else there is, though. There's a nice one called Riesling.
Are you looking at your periodic table of typography?
No, I'm not. This one is just one that I found on Defont a while ago. A long time ago, in fact. Rockwell is good. That is a more standardized one.
This is gonna come across so funny to normal people, you know, discussing favorite fonts and stuff.
But it's important.
I know it is.
I could go on and on, actually. There are so many great fonts out there.
Yeah.
Bell,
I like
Gothic,
what you, the changes that you did with the RSVNB forums, how the headers on the forums are serif, but the text is sans serif. I think
yeah,
that's a
those use Cambria and then use Georgia as a fallback.
Okay, Georgia, then on OS 10. I don't like the numbers in Georgia because I can't tell the difference between a zero and an O.
Yeah, that's right. Unfortunately, I had to deal with that because not everyone has Cambria, but I figured I would use it since it is coming into general widespread use nowadays. I think I also use Calibri on the main site as well.
Yeah, that's right. That's what the headers are there.
I think I changed that in like a personal update I did for that, but I don't think it got implemented. Yeah. Never mind.
Anyways, that was from Paul, and if you want to see what these headers are, just forums.rsbnb.com. It's a very nice template. It looks nice if you view it in a Firefox or a WebKit browser, of course.
Yeah. If you use Internet Explorer, I can guarantee you that.
Next one.
Where are we? Dear Shane, Lord of the Canadian Providences, and Brad, Lord of the Southern Hemisphere, what do you guys think about the philosophy about living each day as if it is your last? I think to a degree, you know, you can't just say that you should live each day as if it's... well, you can, but it depends on your underlying worldview, as we so love to use in English these days. I mean, there's nothing wrong with living each day as if it's your last, because that way you make the most out of life. But you do need to use a certain discretion as to what is appropriate. I think that's about all I have to say, really. Sums it up quite nicely. Yeah, that's my...
I'm going to agree with you there.
Okay. Also, if you had the chance, would you want the countless hours spent on RuneScape back? Yes, I would want that 190 whatever it is days of my life back.
And
do a lot with that. But then, on the other hand, I mean, it has been a good time in some respects.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I played for 208 days and 3 hours.
Yeah. To be honest, though, like, as with all things, I generally think that I wouldn't take anything in my life back because I've
yes.
It's made me who I am, and I love myself. Yeah. That's it. P.S.
Okay,
Shane always says that that's a topic for another time, mostly about topics that would take too long to discuss. So, Shane, when is that time? Thanks. Stay frosty, Lord Steemo.
End of the year. Special
well,
show.
Well, personally,
perhaps.
I think that's a topic for another time. Shane, next question.
Dear Shane and Chief, what are your computer specs? Oh, let's just pull up the topic. Let's post a link to the topic. There's a topic in Tech Talk that we both posted on, I think.
Yeah, I posted it on the first page. Yep.
Okay. But I posted again recently.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just update my original one, which is
okay.
Somewhere near the beginning.
You'll be able to find a link to these in the show notes.
Can we summarize?
Oh, you first.
Oh. So I have a desktop, just the one desktop computer, which is a Core 2 Quad, 2.66 gigahertz, with a 500 gigabyte hard drive, and I have a couple of external hard drives. 2 gigabyte RAM at gigabytes of RAM at the moment, which I am hoping to upgrade. And funny thing, actually, I just realized before the show why my last RAM didn't work. Anyway, so that'll be 4 gigabytes soon, hopefully. I have a 9800 GT graphics card, two 22-inch monitors, and that is about it. Windows 7 Home Premium. That's all. Me.
Okay. My gaming computer is a Core 2 Quad, 2.83 gigahertz, 4 gigabytes of RAM.
Just because you wanted to be better than me.
Two 250 gigabyte hard drives.
I love that. Love that laugh.
4 gigabytes of RAM.
I can't even go that high. That's not fair.
Oh, you had before when you said you were a princess.
I tried. That was
same video card as you, the 9800 GT, and two 23-inch monitors. And Windows
just
7 Home
again,
Premium
because
for
you wanted to be better than me.
Gaming computer. Then, of course, there's the MacBook Pro, which is one of the newer ones, the Core i5 version, which is the development and recording the show platform. Because in reality, if you're doing any gaming at all, Windows is the place to be. Drivers are just better. But definitely OS X for anything programming for me.
Still like Windows, but what was the next part of that?
Okay. Oh, yes. Right. Also, I've just started Slayer. Okay, another one. I'm on level 10, killing moss giants. I've had over 80 more to kill. What would be your suggestion on doing the fastest? I'm only 44 combat with level 35 at strength. With attack level 35, strength level 34, and defense level 33. Yeah, that's probably the best way to go, I think, unless you're asking about which Slayer Master to use. I personally, at that level, would use the Edgevale guy, then transfer over to the Fairy one, probably around level, 70, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, even the Edgevale guy gives you pretty hard stuff every now and then, doesn't he? I can't remember what he gives
you. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's been so long since I've used anything but the Duradel. So,
yeah. Oh well. You have over 80 more to kill. Yeah. It takes a while, especially when you're that level. So, it's fair enough. All you can really do is persevere.
Yeah. There's nothing else you can do really with Slayer.
We still get even at our levels we still get stuff that is sort of equivalent to that. So even though we're a higher level, we get higher level stuff to kill, and so it still takes that long. Yeah, you just have to keep at it, really. That's all you can do.
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry, we can't offer you much more advice. It depends where you're killing them as well. Moss giants, there are lots of different places. Make sure you kill them in a place where there are lots of them. I can't offer any suggestions.
I like the Brimhaven dungeon, but the only problem there is the dogs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't want to kill them there because those dogs are annoying. Yeah.
So,
we'll find a place for you or something.
Those were from Scooter.
Dear Shane and Chifa, if you had to choose between playing RuneScape for the rest of your life for 7 hours a day and do nothing else but that or take a 50-year prison term, theoretically we know how Shane is with his logic, with no way to avoid the sentence. Hopefully Shane won't find a way around this one. So playing RuneScape for the rest of your life for 7 hours a day and doing nothing else but that. Well,
definitely the 7 hours a day of RuneScape, because if you're in a prison cell, you have very little freedoms. Like, you can't even watch TV or read books, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think RuneScape for 7 hours a day.
Yeah, or if you're a prisoner, you could, become a bad prisoner and plug the toilets of the courthouse. Remember that story I sent you?
Oh, yeah.
About San Francisco prisoners? These prisoners in San Francisco stuffed their robes and bed sheets down a toilet, and quite frankly, it sucked it down for some reason, and it flooded the entire courtroom with sewage.
Mildly interesting. Wait. Also, do you agree with the following quote? Man has such a predilection for systems and abstract deductions that he is ready to distort the truth intentionally. He is ready to deny the evidence of his senses only to justify his logic.
No, I don't agree, because I think ultimately at the end of the day, if you can back something up with logic and numbers, it's as sound as you're going to get. So you might as well do what that says to do. Even if it means ignoring your senses.
Yeah, I'm technically a... I tend to be a logical kind of guy. So I think I have to agree with you as well. Yep. That's all. Keep up the awesome show from Magnignigan. Magnagon. I can't remember. It has an A in the end, so...
Yeah, I think it's gone. He pronounced it once. Dear Shane and Chief Snake, what is the easiest way to level attack from 60 to 70 in free-to-play and prayer from 35 to 43 in pay-to-play? Also, do you have any money-making tips? Thank you, Dino Fungus. Right. Definitely in free-to-play, the best thing to do for combat is the cockroach soldiers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are best now, of course. I always figured about those. Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, that's what Kullo always liked. Second to those are Mosh Giants and the Varrock Sewers.
Yes. So
that's what you want to do.
Again,
for
that's what Kullo used to do, didn't he?
Between 60 and 70 and free-to-play.
And for training
prayer, just...
I think Kullo said that he used to do Mosh Giants as well, yeah.
Yeah.
For just, some reason, I remember him posting that, like, years ago.
But really, the only way is you're going to kill the Moss Giants and bury the bones, or buy the big bones from the Grand Exchange.
Yeah, it's pretty depressing, really, in free-to-play. So good luck with that, but there's not much you can do.
And money-making tips? Oh, I don't know. I don't know what you can do in free-to-play.
Yeah, assuming free-to-play.
I think your best option for that would probably be to go resort to one of the primary skills, like the woodcutting or the fishing.
You don't really have many options. It's even pretty difficult to merchant in free-to-play.
Yeah.
Because there are very little... There's a very little number of items that you can use.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're kind of like that. We're kind of in a bind there, but thank you, Dino Fungus.
Sorry about that. What do you think about Jagex changing their homepage to having a purple-themed image with text that reads Kingdom Keepers, Disney Hyperion, and on the right an image of a Disney castle in the back with the outlines of five people under it? That is from Jason.
I think that would be a good April Fool's joke.
Yeah, that would make a good April Fool's joke. I can't think of anything else, though. I don't understand this question.
I think he was asking what we would think of that. At first, I thought he wanted us to look at the page because they had put that up, but I looked and it wasn't there. So, but definitely a good April Fool's joke, you know? Jagex Ltd. bought by Disney. Slight references
to
Disney stuff coming into
that would
the RuneScape
funny.
Game.
Except I don't think they would be able to do that, really. Bring another company like Disney into it. That would cause problems.
Not legally.
Which is a shame, because that would make a fantastic joke.
Yeah.
Last one.
What is the Shiloh Village fishing rate from Penn State 315? If I remember correctly, it's somewhere between 35K and 40K per hour.
Which is terrible.
Yeah, but it's one of the best in the game.
It's probably still the best
that you can get. Yeah.
That's why you don't fish.
Yeah, the barbarian fly fishing run is marginally better. But if you can't do that, don't stress. Shiloh Village is still the best way to go for just raw XP.
Yeah, I'm quite sure that makes like mining better than fishing now for XP. which is just stupid.
Yeah, I agree on that.
Yeah, I enjoy mining more. I haven't been able to say that.
That's like the apocalypse.
I know. Don't hurt me. Tech news.
Okay. Yes, tech news. Google TV. This strangely came out on Friday last week, but we missed it. Google's going to be coming out with a set-top box that you can get for your TV, and essentially it's bringing the web to the TV, meaning web TV listings, easy access YouTube on your TV, socialness on the TV, that sort of thing. It should be interesting, but as usual with all the Google rollouts, US only at first.
Yeah. Oh, typical. However, it is exciting as usual because anything that Google brings out is amazing in general. Yeah.
The first set-top boxes are coming from Logitech.
Oh, okay.
Huh. Yeah. And,
interesting partnership.
Sony is going to be including it actually inside the TVs.
Wow. Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, so...
That'll
watch the video on this and...
Quite prevalent, quite easily, won't it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, so, we'll see.
It's only a matter of time now. Like, yeah. It's all starting to make sense, the Google Chrome OS. Google Chrome OS on your netbook. Google Chrome OS on your TV.
Next up, world domination.
Windows computer or Mac, Google Chrome with access to Google Chrome OS features. I think that's it. But, yeah, google.com/TV. Then a follow-up from last week, new Facebook privacy controls. Do you have a Facebook account?
No.
Okay.
Sanumantai.
Basically. What?
That doesn't interest me.
What'd you say? Okay.
Never mind.
Before we get into the changes we're doing today, I want to go through how we got to where we are now. This is the Facebook CEO speaking, Mark Zuckerberg. I think it's really easy to lose track of the fact that the service that we have today is completely different from what we had in 2004. As we grow, we've had to build a modern privacy system that can scale. It always hasn't been smooth. When we went from college only to open to everyone, there was no smooth way to do it. But we've continually tried hard to continually upgrade the system and build a modern system for privacy. Yeah, right. Because before this would happen, for anybody who didn't listen last week, if you, any of your info that was shared public, any application that you used would be able to get that information without your consent, and also any website that was Facebook-enabled would also be able to get that information without your consent. So, as you can see, therein lies the problem. So I guess the general thing of this today is that updated Facebook privacy controls, so head on over to Facebook and update your settings and lock it down, because I'm sure the vast majority of you out there have Facebook. I think that's it, unless you have anything to say on that.
That is all. What is this next thing?
Does anybody you know have Facebook?
I think pretty much everyone has Facebook. I'm just a bit of a hermit.
Okay. I found a picture of you on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah.
How did you manage that?
If you're wearing like a hat and some sunglasses.
Really?
Yeah.
You'll have to show me that.
Yeah, I will. But anyways, the next tech news thing is...
What the hell?
Project Natal for Xbox 360 is launching in October.
For those of you guys who don't know,
Project Natal is the motion tracking system for the Xbox. $150, supposedly launching October 26th. Flexible date, either way. So it should be interesting to see what kind of games they come out with for this. Because, you know, we're not likely to see the Xbox adopting the kind of games the Wii has, you know?
Yeah.
Have you played Wii yet?
I have. Yeah. Stop asking me that.
Oh, okay. Okay. I just had to make sure.
I know. It's fine.
But, yeah. So I'm interested in to see what they're going to be doing with this. So... Mark that date, October 26th. That is also the date in 2001 that Windows XP came out, for anybody who keeps track of these sorts of things.
Once upon a time, yes. But that is all.
That's it for tech news, yes. So, time to look at some other things.
So,
you know, next week, June starts. It's June, meaning 5 years ago, on June 12th, 2005, we published the first ever episode of RSBNB Update. So, what we are going to do is, for the month, for the first 2 weeks in June, give or take, we're going to be running a Get on the Show contest, in which you'll be coming on some, at some point in June, with Chief and I here.
Which is a fantastic experience, as you should all know.
Yeah, it is. So, here's Chance what you must do this time. You must make RSBNB Update a birthday card. This birthday card can be in whatever format you want. It can be a simple image that you made as if you were going to print it out and hand it to us. It can be something on RuneScape that acts as a birthday card, like RuneScape themed, or I don't know. It's fairly open-ended as long as the message in general is happy birthday, and it would be something you'd give as a birthday card. Heck, it could be, even be a video if you wanted. So open-ended, any kind of birthday card kind of thing.
I have to make a birthday card tonight, actually. I should do a tutorial on this. How to make a birthday card.
So, you can head over to the show notes page at update.rsbnb.com, and we'll have full rules for this and everything and deadlines about when you can send this in. But right now, the deadline should be, providing nothing changes, probably around the 10th or so of June. So you guys have roughly 12 to 14 days to get this done. So,
which is a fairly
look forward
good
to seeing what you guys have. Oh yeah.
Yep.
So just remember, open-ended, and you'll be just fine.
Unless you're me and you never have any time to do anything. But that is all.
Your problem is that you put things off.
No, it's not. No. Only sometimes.
Okay. Time for a May Skill of the Month update. Dungeoneering. Still, X-Blades is winning with 3.6 million XP, followed by Tim, MLI699, with 2.4 million. Then Schwa is in third place with 773k.
Oh, no. Tim is not winning. What are you going to do about that, Tim?
Yeah. With this, I'd also
step
like to
up,
highlight...
bro. Sorry.
I'd also like to highlight that the June skill of the month is RuneCrafting. And you can, if you have a forum account that's a month old, you can sign up for that at rsbnb.com/skotm, skill of the month, and sign up for RuneCrafting. And while you're there, take a look at the new front end. I'm quite proud of the way this turned out.
I just signed up
last week. Oh, you signed up?
Yes. I'm not sure if it was a good idea, but I signed up.
Do you like my front end?
I do love your front end. I do. But I like your back end more.
That's not allowed. That's not allowed.
I had to put that in. From a
Anyways,
technical standpoint.
Yes, there you go. The back end also actually got a changeover too, so everything is completely redone.
Yeah, I just noticed that, because you can no longer put in the date of a month that hasn't been yet and cheat and like see how many people have signed up. Damn it.
Yeah. So rsbnb.com/skotm redirects to the new form of the URL, but the old one still works.
Yeah, if you put in a month that hasn't been yet, it just redirects back to the current month. No fun, Shane. No fun.
Yes. Yeah, you know, once again, for best experience, Firefox or Chrome or something, please, because Internet Explorer, you won't get the full experience if you don't use Internet Explorer on this page. Or
on any pages.
Anyways, that would be that. And I have a pick this week, which is kind of odd, and it's a PC pick. I've been wanting to do Mac picks all along, but my guess is that there's not enough Mac users out there to make it worthwhile. So if you're listening to the show and you use a Mac and you'd be interested in hearing some Mac picks in the coming weeks, head on over to the forums at forums.rsbnb.com and send me a private message. But anyways, my pick. Have you used this one?
No.
It is the PC Decrapifier. It's got a very interesting name. This is something that everybody should run whenever you buy a new computer from one of those manufacturers. HP, Dell, Acer, anybody. Because what this does is it takes all the junk that those companies install on the computer when you get it and uninstalls it, which in the end will make your computer faster. So if you've just bought a new computer, check out the PC Decrapifier at PCDecrapifier.com.
Yeah, actually, I would highly recommend this, only because I've never used it myself, just because when I get a new computer, which I don't actually do often, I just reinstall the whole operating system. At least I have done that, I suppose. With my laptop, I reinstalled the operating system. I guess I haven't done that with anything else, because this computer that I have right now is just, I just got an OEM version of the operating system, so... Yep, no crap on this one. But for anyone else who can't be bothered reinstalling the whole operating system, then definitely get the PC Decrapifier, because I have seen some crapped up PCs, I will tell you that, in my time.
Yeah, so... Cool. Okay. So that's that. So tell us about what you did last weekend.
Oh yeah, fun stuff. So last weekend I did the 40-hour famine. I didn't go without food, as Shane seemed to think. I only went without technology, but fully without technology. So I was planning to go just without a computer, which I thought, okay, this is going to be hard for me, but it's not going to be that hard. I'll be fine. But then it turns out I just went fully without all technology, which you know, it depends on what your definition of technology is, but I just basically went anything without a chipset or something like that. So no computer, no TV, because, well, I thought it would be cheating to use TV as well. That would just be my fallback. No stereo, you know, no music, no cell phone. And that is what got me, really. You know, it's fine. It's all fine. I never use my cell phone, really, only when I need to. But of course, when you do need to actually use it, it's like, oh my god, what do I do without it? So that is probably what got me the most. It was a really interesting experiment, I will say that. So anyway, I went from 4:30 p.m. on Friday until about the middle of Sunday, which was something like 45 hours in the end, without technology. And so I am a god for that. I consider myself a god, because that is a pretty amazing feat for someone like myself, who lives on technology. So, yeah, I don't need a... Although it did make me feel a bit helpless at times without a means of communication. But apart from that, you know, it's fine. I can go without technology, really. It felt like being on holiday, in a way, because it's just like being away from everything that I'm familiar with. Which is really interesting. It shouldn't feel like that. It's sad. But it was good. It was a good experiment. And it was fun. It was fun on the whole. Because I just hung out with friends all weekend, really. It was good.
Okay. And how much did you get in terms of pledges thing?
I haven't actually collected that much yet. I got given a $20 note the other day, which I thought was pretty impressive. So I've only got about $30 or so. I'm going to get more. I just haven't been bothered to right now. Yeah.
Anything else?
However, to me, I mean, the objective was not to raise money. I only did it for a laugh. So I just like to clarify that, you know. I mean, I don't think it's going to make a big difference to, you know, yeah. It's just one of those things. Anyway.
Okay, then. Anything else?
So what have you been doing, Shane? No, that's about it, really. And I've been weighed down for the past most of last week with schoolwork. I had a couple of essays to do for biology. Yay! And I've got another one to write this weekend for English. So, yeah, just more schoolwork, just usual stuff. That's me.
How fun is that, eh?
Yeah, very fun.
This week, what have I been doing? I've been working on something that's classified. Unfortunately, no, it's not site stuff, but classified nonetheless. And I did write Schwa a little script for his Skiller of the Day stuff. So, yeah, that's about that. And I did get 90 fishing. Currently pondering what I'll do next, since, you know, Brad's back now. It doesn't make sense to continue Project Brad, since that was supposed to be, well, he's gone, but now he's back, so why not? So I'm currently pondering what will be next, and I have a general idea, but I haven't fully decided yet, so.
Should be fun to see what that becomes.
Yeah, so that's about it, I think. Aside from, oh yeah, the quest, of course, which, oh yeah, and StarCraft 2. I'm really starting to like that game, even though I lose badly.
Oh well, that's not what it's about. Yeah, so, it's just about having fun, isn't it?
Yeah, no, well no, you don't have fun if you get beat 5 minutes into the game, you know, by a rush, right?
Depends.
So, the game doesn't come out until July 27th, it's just the beta, so I'm hoping they don't mess up the tech tree or anything all that time, so it doesn't have to be relearned, but anyways. That's that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're done.
I think that is about, yeah, that is done. Okay.
Okay. Spin RSBNB update 258. We will see you guys all next week. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.